Blog Talk Radio.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Deport from 29 District. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Hello and welcome to Provocative Thought, intimately known as PT, striving to awaken those who are asleep. Stimulate those who are awakened. Feed those who are starving. And nurture those who seek to know. I am your host, Carlton Steed, a self-proclaimed student of life in the search and revelation of life on life's terms. First, I'd like to thank We Talk Productions for allowing me to host this show. I'd also like to thank the creator for allowing me to be. You can contact the show by dialing 516-531-9540. Please press the number one to speak. You can contact us on the internet at www.blogtalkradio.com. Go to search and type in We Talk Productions and listen to the show live. You can also reach us on Facebook at Provocative Thought PT Community Organization. Tonight's topic, what do you think? Tonight we're going to take a look at four controversial events that some may have conflicting opinions about. One deals with this thing about people calling George Floyd a hero, the Stand Your Ground incident in Texas where a robber was shot 4 times in the back by a patron. Changing the definition of a woman in the dictionary or a man. And the Brazilian butt lift craze. Got a request for that. So, we're going to start with George Floyd, hero. Right? Now, a hero is from dictionary. Hero is a person noted for courageous acts of nobility and character. You know, he became a hero when he saved a drowning child, right? You know, pulled somebody out of a burning building. Now, you could be a hero. That's a courageous act. So, you know, that could be anybody committing that act, a courageous act. That means anybody can, any person is capable of committing a heroic act, right? A person who is, in the opinion of others, a special achievement, ability, personal qualities, and is regarded as a role model or ideal. Now, that's a different type of hero. That's more like a moral, ethical hero, right? Hey, you standing up against, you know, evil and all this shit nonsense, and you maintaining your integrity, right? Some of my people might say you were a hero, right? A martyr is a person who willingly suffers death rather than renounce their religion, right? Y'all heard about the guys, you know, people who rather die than, you know, say, hey, you know, you're going to be a Christian or you're going to die. You're going to be a Muslim or you're going to die with a martyr, with the person who will say, you know, guess I'm dying today, right? But that's a martyr, right? Okay, so, and this is really shitting. This is a no-brainer about George Floyd, right? Because I don't know. I know we like to idolize people and things like that. And I get that too, because when you do something somebody likes, you know, but you don't really know everybody that you're idolizing. But we focus on one thing and we go with that. You know what I'm saying? So, but Floyd was no hero because he didn't save anyone or do anything for anyone in that event, right? Just because you don't know who George Floyd is, George Floyd was killed, murdered by law enforcement when they arrested him. And a particular guy, Mr. Chauvin, Officer Chauvin, placed his knee on his neck while he was yelling, crying, pleading for his life on the ground. And ongoers watched, people watched it on the internet. It was just all over the world. People watching this guy choke this guy out with his knee while he crying for help. And other officers were holding Floyd down, right? And that happened, and then we had these riots all over, right? And that, I guess the fact that people could see that happening in broad daylight in America, it kind of like freaked people out, you know what I'm saying? And you know, that's the George Floyd. George, he was murdered, right? And he couldn't save his own life. He's not known for his special achievements, abilities, or acts of courage or nobility, right? Right? Because I think it was this girl, Lady Candace Owens was basically slamming this guy, and I think Charles and White, Thug or something, I don't know, some internet sensation, who has some good ideas sometimes. You know, he says some crazy stuff, but sometimes he says some stuff that a lot of people have on their minds. It's not that it's right or wrong, but people be thinking about it anyway. But he said that, you know, he challenges why did they get up for George Floyd but not for Tamir Rice, 12-year-old shot in the park within seconds of a police officer arriving, had a toy gun in his hand, right? It's gunned down. Why didn't, you know, people get up for that the way they got up for George Floyd? It was a reason for that, because a lot more things happened. Probably some people don't even know about Tamir Rice, you know, didn't get as much media coverage and things like that. Anyway, he didn't suffer because of what he believed, but he did suffer because of what he was. In that sense, his death made him something like a martyr. not quite a martyr, but, you know, it's got that kind of effect. It had a similar effect. George was murdered by law enforcement simply because he was black and poor. He's no hero, but he is a victim of police brutality that has plagued black America since the slave patrols. Hell, before the slave patrols, to tell you the truth. But, you know, in terms of sense of law enforcement, since the slave patrol, don't let the black faces on the police force fool you. Floyd's very public execution was a catalyst for the protests and riots. What happened to George Floyd is at the center of what occurred after he was murdered in cold blood by law enforcement. All right? He's not the first, and he wasn't the last. Right? He didn't volunteer for the job. It just happened. Right? So what we saw was a reaction from years of abuse by law enforcement and nothing being done. Because, see, it happened to George Floyd, and it took some time for that to happen. That wasn't even like something that happened, bam. It was something that took place. It was ample time for intervention, and it didn't happen, right? The act shocked many all over the world. I don't know why they'd be shocked, but I guess it could shock you watching another man kill another man, right? Hard daylight in front of people. Everybody can see, hey, that's dangerous. Don't do that to this man, except for the people who are supposed to intervene in those type situations, which I guess that turns that into a nightmare, right? For anybody, because that could be anybody, right? So it was a reality check for those who doubt that these things happen in the United States, right? It's a witness to the brutality of law enforcement, right? And I'm not by any chance saying that we don't need law enforcement. What we don't need is guys like Chauvin and guys like the guys who didn't intervene to stop Chauvin from doing what he was doing. Because it doesn't matter about seniority and all that stuff. It does not matter when someone is breaking the law. You need to intervene. If it's your first day on the job and all that stuff, and that they got a little cold going on, all that stuff shouldn't matter. Because if you want to avoid going to jail, which these guys are in court, but went to court and were sentenced, right? Eventually, took some time, but because if it were civilians that did that, they would have been locked up immediately if they had made it to be arrested, if they had survived that, right? Police didn't intervene when police were perpetrators, which is one of the things that people have been complaining about. No one forced Chauvin off of Floyd's neck. So that's a derelict of duty and a derelict of humanity. The hell with being a police officer. No police officer did it, and the community didn't do it because they know those police officers were supporting this guy with his knee on this guy's neck. Because actually, with a best case scenario, the community should have been able to stop that. But they don't have respect for the community. So if the community would have intervened, there would have been more black people dead and some white folks. So I think some white folks out there, they would have been dead out there. Right? Definitely would have been some black folks dead if they would have tried to stop that. Right? It raises the question, how do you defend yourself against law enforcement when law enforcement is assaulting you? Like, what do you do? Law enforcement is letting law enforcement assault you. Rodney King, another situation. There's a bunch of situations like that. These are the famous situations, infamous situations. Like, what do you do? What can you do? Or you just sit there and just take that? George Floyd's history as a criminal history has nothing to do with what law enforcement did to him on that dreadful day. That was one of the things Candace and Charles White was saying. This guy's a criminal. He's nobody. Why did they get up, turn that, Why did they turn it up for George Floyd, not Tamir Rice? It was a 12-year-old boy who was gunned down with a toy gun in his hand, right? So, you know, and I think that is not even the issue with George Floyd. The issue with George Floyd was not George Floyd. The issue was what law enforcement was doing, and which I think Chauvin had a record of doing stuff like that. If you want to look at records, look at the records of the law enforcement officers who are doing these, committing these acts. Because we have laws that say what a police officer is supposed to do or can do when making an arrest. You know, putting your knee on somebody's neck, this handcuffed behind their back, that's a no-go unless you are allowed to terrorize people and kill who you want. Now, if you're living in that country, then it's not a problem. But if you're living in a country that says people have rights, people you arrest have rights, and then we have a problem with this George Floyd incident, right? Yeah, some people want to judge Floyd by his history as if his life was less valuable because of his criminal history. I'd say no to that. Even though, like some people, you might say, like, man, you know, I don't care what happens to him. He's a threat to the community, right? A menace to society. This is what the cops gun him down, right or wrong, you know, choke him out, beat him to death, so what, right? You might be thinking that. But that could happen to you. It could happen to anybody. And it does, right? Like it or not, George Floyd is the face of what happened that day. And as a result of that day, the protests and the riots were, for the most part, right? Because you had some people and they had their own agendas, right? For the most part, the reaction to what happened to George Floyd. Not that it happened to George Floyd. The issue was not George Floyd. Some people are trying to make what happened George, not Chauvin and the other guys that were participating, you know, and, you know. The issue is not George Floyd. The issue is what happened to George Floyd. So if you got any issues with this, with people remembering George Floyd, they're remembering what happened to George Floyd, not remembering George Floyd, baby pictures, high school graduation, you know, criminal history, drug use. That's not what they're talking about. And if you feel like, you know, it's okay to kill people because they have criminal records of drug use or criminal history, you'll be killing a whole lot of people in the United States and some people who are in positions of authority also. So owners of businesses and things like that, right? We're not going to get too deep into that right there. So remember George Floyd means remember what happened to George Floyd at the hands and knee of law enforcement, not remember everything George Floyd ever did or stood for. It's ludicrous. All right? And take, for example, do we remember George Washington, the father of our nation, as a slave owner? Now, the black folks, that's one of the lowest form of existence to us as a man who wants to enslave us, who enslaved our ancestors. That's dirt. That's below the dirt. Even though I don't even know why I'm saying that, because dirt is good for us. It's a necessity for us to live. We depend on dirt. So I don't probably need to think of a better term for that. But you know what I mean, right? George Washington is a lowly person historically. But, biographically, but historically, he led the nations through this war with a giant. Britain, right? What about Thomas Jefferson? Same thing. He was taking his slaves, having babies with them. So, you know, it's a slave. Why you sat with Sally Hemings or something? You know, she had to submit to him. And he had slaves. So I don't hear anybody saying anything about these guys like that. You know what I'm saying? You know, and the whole nation is getting up for these guys. You got the Washington Monument. Thomas Jefferson is famous. He's not infamous. But they're trying to make George Floyd infamous and therefore insignificant in this whole theme of what happened to him on that day. So I think that's not a good move, and we're wasting our time arguing about things that really, really waste of time arguing if George Floyd is the hero or a martyr, a martyr or not. I said, he is the face of what happened, right? And the media made that possible, right? But that was seen all over the world. So anybody have anything to say about that? Because I'm going to move to my next topic, which deals with a robbery in Texas. And as you know, Texas have a, what's that thing, stand your ground law, right? And anybody want to say anything about this? Because I'm going to move to the next one. They had to say about George Floyd. So nothing wrong with saying remember George Floyd, posting his pictures up and things like that. If there's something wrong with that, take down George Washington too and Thomas Jefferson. That's what I'm going to say about that. Anyway, robbery in Texas. Here's a scenario. A man walks into a restaurant, robs the restaurant, and pays patrons. I'm not sure if he robbed the restaurant. He definitely robbed the people in there. As the robber walks by a patron that was sitting in a booth, right? He finished robbing everybody. He's on his way out. Walks towards the door, right? The front door. The patron, a male, waits until the man walks by him, pulls his firearm, and shoots the robber in the back 4 times. The robber falls to the ground and drops his gun. His gun is on the floor, right? The patron goes over to the robber lying on the floor, picks the gun up, and shoots the robber 4 times at point-blank range, right? He's laying on the floor, mortally wounded, right? Then he shoots the robber 1 time in the head. The patron then takes the money the robber stole from the people, right, and gives it back to the patrons, right, other patrons in the store. The patron leaves the scene. And at the end of the day, it's discovered that the robber's gun is to be a toy. His gun is not even it's not a real gun. So the patron fled the scene, right? That is a hell of a toy gun if the patron could not tell it was a toy after picking it up. Maybe it was a BB gun or a replica. Still, why did he shoot the robber 4 more times and 1 time in the head? All right, so I'm just going to read this over again because I'm going to go through some things about the situation. It sounds like we got a vigilante here. The man walks into a restaurant, robs the restaurant, or at least the patrons, right? Casually walks out of the store with his gun in his hand, right? As he walks by a patron, the male waits until the man walks by him, pulls his firearm, and shoots the robber in the back 4 times. Bop, 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 bop. Falls to the floor. Right? Drops his gun. Gun is on the floor. The patron goes over to the robber lying on the floor, right? Who shot 4 times. Picks the gun up, right? And shoots the robber 4 times at close range, right? I don't know if it's in his back, front, side, or anything like that. He shoots him 4 times at close range. Then he shoots the robber 1 time in the head. The patron takes the money the robber stole from the robber and gives it back to the patron that he stole the money from, right? The patron leaves the scene. The robber's gun is discovered to be a toy. From the Guardian, Houston police say charges have not been filed against the man, described as a white or Hispanic male, but they want to speak to him about his role in the shooting. All right, so I'm assuming if I know this, he shot him four times, they went over and shot him again four more times with his while holding his gun in his hand, right? The robber's gun in his hand, then shot him in the head, right? I'm assuming that the police know that too, and they here's their response is they have not been filed, charges have not been filed against the man. First, the robber created his own jeopardy by deciding to rob the patrons in the store. Even if his gun was loaded and real, he would have died that night. This has nothing to do with right, wrong, legal, or illegal. It is a testimony of how he, the robber, contributed to his own murder. Let this serve as a warning and lesson to those who may best benefit from the incident. Second, no charges to be filed, no warrant pending, an investigation of 9 shots fired, 5 while the deceased was lying on the floor. This sounds like it's open season on armed robbers in Texas. All right, so stand your ground law in Texas, right? You got to be careful with these laws that people put out here, and you have to be careful how you stand behind these, act under these laws. This is very, very dangerous. Anyway, Texas says that stand your ground law removes the duty to retreat before using deadly force if the person is in a place they have a right to be. That patron was, he had a right to be in that store, is not engaged in criminal activity. He's trying to get some food, so he ain't breaking the law, right? And has not provoked his or her assailant. Well, he didn't provoke him because he waited till he had his back turned, right? And shot him. So he never said a word to him, didn't provoke him, say, hey, didn't say, you know. So that sounds like he's within the stand your ground law. The shooting somebody in the back, we don't know how that goes with stand your back. Walking away and in the back, we don't know how that goes. And he was obviously leaving, right? From USArmLawShield.com, can you shoot a fleeing thief in Texas? I know a lot of people that, you know, would like to do that anywhere. You stole my stuff, bam. So, you know, I get that. So they say it's midnight, you wake up a strange sound somewhere outside in front of your home. You get out of bed, grab your firearm, run to your front window, and look outside. That's when you see a masked man in your yard, peeking in your car, looking around for security cameras, you know. Can you legally, what can you do to stop him? Or do you have to let him steal your property? You got your gun in your hand, right? They give you another scenario. You hear someone moving in the next room, and you know your wife and children are still in bed and asleep. What do? Right? You grab your pistol, right? You're going out there to see what's going on out there, right? Right. They said many states forbid the use of deadly force to protect your property. Okay? All right, so let's say criminal consequences. Texas Penal Code 9.41 explains the person is allowed to use force, but not deadly force, to terminate a mere trespass or interference with property, right? You are allowed to use force, not deadly force, right? So that man in front of that guy's yard, he can't shoot him. He can't kill him. Yeah, deadly force, shoot him, right? Theft or interference with property occurs when a person takes another's property with the intent to deprive them of that property and without the owner's consent. So money is property. I think we all can agree on that, right? So back to the example, they say, if you grab your firearm, go outside and fire a shot at the trespasser or somebody merely creeping around your yard, you would find yourself facing serious felony charges, right? Texas law only permits the use of force, not deadly force, right? So you can't shoot them. I said that, right? If the trespasser sees you, but instead of running away, he's leaving, right? Yeah, if he's leaving, but instead of leaving, he comes toward you with a weapon in one hand and your property in the other, right? That's changed from attempted, it has quickly changed to an attempted murder or an aggravated robbery. So he's coming at you with a gun. That's attempted murder you or aggravated robbery, right? What? You don't like it? You can have some of this hot stuff, right? So the distinction is important when we discuss the use of force or deadly force, because if you choose to use deadly force and fire upon the predator, your conduct will likely be justified, right? In this situation, because the robber in the home, right? Because the robber on one hand and your property in the other, have your property on the other, right? The robber has your property and a gun is coming towards you, right? That presents an immediate, imminent threat, right? So here, the citizen is directly, immediately threatened by an armed perpetrator. He comes towards you with a weapon in one hand and your property in the other, right? Which means if he threatens you, right, coming towards you, your life, after taking your property, you do not have the duty to retreat and can use deadly force, right? So that's what that means. If somebody takes something from you and now they're trying to go upside your head, intimidate you with a firearm, you know, you can use deadly force, right? Got a weapon in his hand, right? So that could be a pipe, whatever, baseball bat, whatever, coming at you now. So, seems like you made a big mistake, son, right? So he's saying you can cut him down if you got a chopper, right? I guess that chopper better be legal, though. But I'm pretty sure if it's illegal, you're going to get a gun charge and what comes with that. That's the other part. But it's not an exercise on if you have a legal weapon or not. I'm assuming that the weapon is legal and you're going to move forward. So remember, the starting point for using deadly force is reasonableness and immediate necessity. So this is immediate necessity. He threatens you, right? Threatens you, your life, after taking your property, right? He's coming towards you, you know, because he's going away, not threatening you. If he's coming towards you, he's threatening you. That's what we get now. I hope we're on the same page with that, you know, because that's what they basically boils down to. There's a lot of words, but that's what they're saying, right? Reasonableness and immediate necessity. Texas allows you to use deadly force to protect your property if you would be justified in using force and you reasonably believe it is immediately necessary to prevent the imminent commission of specific enumerated property crimes, right? And those crimes are burglary, robbery, aggravated robbery, theft during the nighttime. I don't know what nighttime had to do with it. These people are... This to show you how people are not the smartest people that's creating these laws during the nighttime. But like, you can't get robbed during the daytime or murdered during the daytime. That makes no sense. Or criminal mischief during the nighttime. What is this thing about the nighttime? We had guys that shot off, what is it, 3-4 guys shooting off 60 rounds, broad daylight. Texas law allows these the use of deadly force. The bad guy is no longer a mere trespasser, right? In the second example, right? He's in the house, right? doors wide open. It's very likely that you discover the imminent commission of one or more of the crimes with Texas law allows the use of deadly force, right? That was the second example. Everybody in the bay, he hears somebody move around in the house, picks up his piece, and going out to make his house more peaceful, right? So that's the person that's committing these crimes, right? So let me have in that store, right? We have a guy committing what they call aggravated robbery. He has a weapon in his hand, right? He's threatening people with a gun, and he's taking their money, right? So what happens if I discover a criminal already has my property and runs away when he sees me approach with a firearm? What happens, right, if I discover a criminal already has my property and he runs away when he sees me approach? When it comes to using deadly force to recover your stolen property, Texas jurors will have a three-step process to decide if you were legally justified. Now, if that guy is moving away from you, now you're going to have a different type of issue, right? They're saying, right? But even then, you may have a way out if you take it to a Texas jury, right? Step one, the jury must find that you were justified under Texas Penal Code 941. I just read that, right? So, guy was taking property or on a person's property snooping, can't shoot him. Guy's in the property, right? In your property, he presents an imminent threat to you, right? So you might be able to shoot him because he's committing aggravated, enumerated property crimes, right? Which is robbery, aggravated robbery, theft during the nighttime, or criminal mischief during the nighttime. I sound like somebody just wrote some stuff they was afraid of. They need to really go over these laws again, because just because the person in power doesn't mean that they're intelligent. Sometimes people just pass laws that impact on them or is a representation of what they fear. Like this person, whoever passed this law, they fear the night. Things happen to them in the night. Cause what is this nighttime garbage? Anyway. It said, second, if you had a reasonable belief that deadly force was immediately necessary to prevent the perpetrator from fleeing immediately after committing a burglary, right, or aggravated robbery. So do you need to kill him to stop him from fleeing, which is a very interesting thing to say or do. Someone has just robbed me. Now, he walks down the street. Can I use deadly force to stop him, right? You reason to believe it would not have been protected and recovered by any other means, right? The property, right? You ain't going to get it back unless you kill him, right? Or using something less than deadly force would expose you to a substantial risk of death or serious bodily. You just robbed me with a gun. Now I'm going to go, wrestle him to get my money back, wait till he turn around? No, because he got the gun. He can just point it down and on the back, around the side, start shooting, right? Or I might not even get that close to him. He can just turn around and shoot me, right, because I'm coming at him now. So, whoa, what are you doing, buddy? I gave you a break, So here we had some things, right? So that's why they say laws is subject to interpretation. This is so true. Okay, so you believe that the property could not be gotten back unless you kill this person, right? It's reasonable to believe that deadly force was imminently necessary. Now, if you're talking about all these things got to be present, imminently necessary to prevent a perpetrator from fleeing. We don't know if that's true, because if a man has his back towards you, you can tell him, "Halt! You got a gun on him. Don't move. Don't turn around. I'm gonna shoot you." Right? But question is, who the hell's gonna do that? When they see a guy got a gun in his hand, and the average Joe don't really know how to shoot, And under fire is shooting is different than shooting at a gun range. So, you know, when you might die, you know, that's a whole new ball game having a shootout with somebody, especially at close range. So question is, you know, I get it. So this guy shot this guy in the back. He waited till he went by, shot him in the back, right? So it may be a daunting task to convince 12 jurors that you acted reasonably in shooting someone to recover property alone, particularly whereas the criminal no longer posed a threat to you or your family. So they're basically saying that if he's walking away, not towards you, it may be you gonna have to put some work in to prove that you needed to kill that man, right? So if you're talking about using deadly force. The third step analysis occurs after you've been arrested and charged with a crime for defending your property. So if you've not been arrested, these three steps don't even apply to you, right? So if I want to make sure that a man is not has a less chance of being persecuted, right, then I don't arrest him, right? Sounds like here. If you don't arrest him, he won't be subject to this, right? The three-step analysis occurs after you have been arrested and charged with the crime for defending property, right? So, first, there are probably many people who would have liked to do what this patron did, right? This Texan patron did to this armed robber. Probably a lot of people are just mad at the situation. And maybe not even at that guy, but just all the crime and the shooting and the intimidation and people just, it's just, you know, I get that. You know, I get all of that. I get the shooting multiple times. That's how you feel. You see what I'm saying? You got to do, you have to act within the law, the boundaries of the law, right? People are sick and tired of crime and violence. The fact is, you cannot do anything you want. We cannot do what we want to do to people because they committed a crime. The only people we see doing that are out on the street. You fall, they give you some more. They shoot you four times. You fall, you might get the whole clip after that, right? That's what we see doing that. So, Texas law say the straight point for using deadly force or deadly force in Texas can be boiled down to two things, reasonableness and immediate necessity, right? So immediate necessity means he's coming at me, right? He's coming my way. I don't want to wait to see if he's trying to shoot me. I'm going to have to take him out. I'm going to tap him out, right? So necessary to prevent a predator from fleeing immediately after committing a burglary, robbery, aggravated robbery, or theft during the nighttime. What is this nighttime thing all about? I really don't understand that. That's goofy. So we're talking about reasonableness and immediate necessity, right? So immediate necessity involves a threat to you, right? But immediate necessity, you can have an immediate necessity to stop him because in order to he going away. If he goes away, you don't know him. He ain't like your next door neighbor robbed you. It's a guy you don't know. Once he goes away, you might never see that guy again. And your credit cards and your things you need in there. You know what I mean? Your money. So the robber is committing aggravated robbery, robbing patrons at gunpoint, right? The robber is leaving or fleeing the restaurant when he is shot in the back four times by the patron, right? The Texas patron, right? So far, it could be interpreted that he is acting within the boundaries of Texas law, right? But he got a gun in his hand. The guy might be afraid to say, stop. He may, if I bring it to the attention, he might turn around and shoot me. He might not stop, just turn around and start shooting, right? So that guy probably was afraid, right, tired of it, and shot this guy in the back. So the Texas patron gave the victims their money back, right? So he did, as like the law was saying, right? He got the property back, right? So it looks like, hey, this is a good guy. This guy, bad guy, came in, robs, right? Good guy comes, waits to the opportunity, the best opportunity that he could kill this man and get that money back, right? No, the law is practiced in this scenario, sentences anyone who robs, burglarizes, or steals at night to death. It grants any citizen the right to kill a fleeing robber. In short, it sanctions street execution or capital punishment for a less than capital offense. Aggravated robbery is not a capital offense. But they saying if you, in fact, if it makes walking or running away from committing aggravated robbery or armed robbery a capital offense punishable by death on the street. The police catch you, they're not, you know, they're not supposed to kill you, right? That's evil genius. But that's only if you get caught up in that trap, right? You could argue that there was no imminent or immediate threat, therefore no reasonable necessity to shoot this robber in the back because he was leaving the scene. He just could have let that man go and let the police handle that, right? The robber was not shot when he came toward the Texan, right? The Texan patron, right? With a weapon in one hand and his property in the other, or the property of the other people. He wasn't shot that way. He was shot when he was actually trying to exit the store, right? So here we have come with the other argument. The Texan patron shot the man without warning and didn't attempt to give the robber a chance to surrender. He didn't have a chance to surrender, right? The Texan patron waited until the threat was neutralized by the robber's own action, which was casually walking out of the restaurant as if he had made a purchase. Threat was dissipated by the robber's decision to leave. He did not shoot the robber in the back while he was committing the crime, right? While he's taking other people's money. He ain't shooting, right? Or while the robber was able to see and face the Texan patron walking towards him with the gun in his hand. That would constitute an imminent, immediate threat and reasonable necessity to use deadly force to stop the robber, right? If the robber turned around, pointed his weapon, that would constitute a reasonable necessity to use deadly force. It is clear that the Texan patron waited until he believed he would not be in any danger to shoot the robber in the back. He waited until there was no immediate reasonable necessity or imminent threat to attack the robber from behind. No one tried to stop the robber. No one said stop or I'll shoot. The robber was not aware of any attempt by anyone to prevent him from leaving after committing aggravated robbery. The Texan patron only wanted to kill the robber as indicated by what he did next. Now remember, man comes in, robs the people in the store, leaves as he's leaving, right? Patron shoots the man in the back 4 times, right? That's where we at. So the Texan only wanted to kill the robber as indicated in by what he did next. After he shot the man in the back 4 times, he drops to the floor, right? The Texan patron, right, goes over and picks up the robber's gun and shoots him 4 more times at point blank range. That's beyond excessive, right? Because after a police officer had done that, he's supposed to give aid to that person, right? He's down, give aid, right? But here we have a civilian. He shot a man 4 times. Picked his gun up, stood over him, shot him 4 more times, right? Remember what they say about multiple shot wounds, right? It's a sign of, it's emotion involved in that a lot of times, right? because it wasn't necessary. You usually see it's not necessary. So it's, that tells me there's an emotion connected to or why this guy's shooting this guy. But he's a, you know, he didn't just want to neutralize him, right? Because he went over there and shot him four times while he was laying on the floor, while you had this toy gun in your hand, right? So is it what you expect to happen if you rob someone on the street who's a killer? If I rob a drug dealer or a boy that's out there, you know, he's on the street dude, you know, who's a killer, he knows he will kill you, right? He's out there. And if you rob one of them cats, turn around, he's going to kill you, and he's going to put as many bullets in you as he feel like doing, right? That's what this looks like. You know, that's the don't F with me kind of like doing, or maybe I hate these. I don't know if he hates crime so much, hate black people, maybe associates crime and black people together. I don't know. I'm sure it's lots of white boys committing robberies, as you can read your own statistics on that, right? But whatever it is, this guy doesn't like that much that he walks over to a man he know he hit four times, because it was close, the first four shots. It's in a store, a small store. Those four shots were close. Stood over him, shot him four more times at point blank range, right? That's what you expect from a street killer. Not even a police officer. And it gets worse. To shoot the robber in the head one time, after that makes a particular statement and tells us something about the Texan patron who appears to have committed a crime himself when he shot the unarmed robber four times while he was lying on the floor, dying, if not dead, and then shoot him in the head to make sure that he died that night, right? Because it's, hey, if he's not dead on the floor, if you shot him because he wasn't dead, right? Well, that means your goal is to kill him, not to stop him and get the money back, because you had his gun and he's wounded. He's laying on the floor. Guys don't lay on the floor doing robberies unless they are hurt, injured, seriously injured, right? So you can see that. This is where this thing has a diabolical twist to it, because shot the man in the head. That's telling you my goal was to kill this man. Kill this. I'm going to kill him. And he did kill him. Why he didn't say anything to him? Why would he? If his goal is to kill him, right? This would be my argument. I can't understand why they're not prosecuting this guy. Because he could have got away with, maybe he could have got away with the first four shots, you know? But the other five, you can't justify shooting a man that you already shot, that you already have his weapon laying on the floor. You can't justify shooting him four more times and once in the head at point blank range, right? So that's first degree murder. There was no conflict, no heat of passion, no threat, no reasonable necessity, immediate necessity to prevent the disarmed, mortally wounded robber lying on the floor from fleeing, right, or assaulting anybody, right? No need to shoot the robber five more times. There was only the desire to kill in cold blood. Now, if you don't think that that's cold-blooded for him to shoot a man eight times then shoot him in the head, you're crazy, all right? This is a guy who, like, he didn't shoot nobody. He had, seemed like the robber had more respect for life than his patron did. But the patron is going down as a hero. Check that out. This guy, they're saying he's a hero for committing that heinous act, right? This heinous act, right? So reasonable means using good judgment, fairly, honestly, intelligently, judiciously, justly, and logically. It wasn't logical to shoot anybody who's laying on the ground. Like I said, a cop shoots you. Once the danger is, the threat is dealt with, he got to help you out. He's supposed to help you, right? The proof is in what the Texan did after he shot the robber. in the back four times and pick the robber's gun up. It was neither a use of good judgment, fair, intelligent, just, or logical. It's illogical, right? To stand your ground leaves some wiggle room to murder. And a Texas jury in this particular case may sympathize with the Texan, right, patron, but that would make it just or justified, right? That would just get this guy off, right? That is if this case makes it in front of a Texas jury, right? So they say this guy was a 46-year-old customer, was questioned by Houston police, homicide detectives on Monday, right? So after consulting with the Harris County District Attorney's Office, it was determined the shooting will be referred to a grand jury. Statement reads, since the male is not arrested or charged, his identity is not being released. So they said that you have to go to a grand, be arrested to go to the grand jury. This guy is not going to the grand jury, but they're going to refer him to a grand jury, right? So already the narrative has begun to take new form, or my information is not correct. It went from standing over the unarmed robber, firing four shots in his body and one shot in his head, to one shot point blank. That was another narrative I read, right? Mind you, point blank is a declaration of intent to kill, murder, when you are shooting an unarmed man, robber or not. Footage showed the defiant customer pulling his weapon and firing from his seat at the booth where he was dining with a man, hitting the robber multiple times in the back as some of the patrons dove under the tables, right? The assailant collapsed near the front of the restaurant before the patron who shot him got up, stood over him, and fired one more time point blank. The video showed. That's what, that was some new stuff they came up with, right? From ABC News, right? They changed it. A patron who shot him got up, stood over him, and fired one more shot. What happened to the four other shots, right? So you see the narrative starting to change, right? He wasn't arrested, right? Uh-oh. Oh, the one more time was point blank in the head after being shot eight times, four times at close range, and four at point blank range. Don't let your feelings get in the way of what actually happened on that night. This is what it is. I think that this guy let his feelings get in the way. Right. Well, I don't know if he's racist. I don't know if he hate crime so much doing the Batman thing. I don't know. But I think he let his feelings get in the way and he overstepped his boundaries. But in doing so, he did what a lot of people in Texas and some other places feel like doing. So from The Guardian, they talked to a guy, Thomas Dixon, a former Houston police officer and now a lawyer. He said, the person he shot was in the process of committing robbery, and consequently, his use of force in defense of himself and innocent third parties is completely justified. He was reasonably in fear of serious bodily injury or death. That's not true. That's just straight up lie. Right? The guy's walking out. After he had not pulled his gun out, that situation would have been over with. Right? So could a police officer have gotten away with this brutal act in Texas based on the former Houston police officer lawyer point of view? Maybe. Could a black man have gotten away with this brutal act if he shot a white man in the same manner? I don't think so. The only thing that is for sure is that the Texan patron wanted this robber dead. There was only one reason a jury in Texas would not find this Texan patron guilty of murder, particularly if the robber was alive when he was disarmed, shot 4 times in the body and once in the head at point-blank range. What are we coming to? Sure, we don't like, we may not like these guys robbing and doing this stuff, but do we have the right to just kill them? Because I'm going to tell you what that's going to bring in about. That's going to bring about people killing people that they rob. Because now they're afraid that somebody's going to kill them. Not that they don't already do that. Some people. But now that's going to, you know, if it doesn't curb the people, it don't stop from doing that. It's going to make them come up with this crazy idea. Well, now it's no longer a robbery. It's a homicide robbery. Get this $75 out of these folks. $75. You can't even buy a gun for $75. Anyway. You can read the statutes on that. And I just went to one thing in particular I had something to say about. It's talking about property and things like that. That's for arrest and search, right? It said person is justified against another when and to the degree the actor reasonably believes the force is imminently necessary. It's for arrest and search, right? A person acting in a police officer's presence and at his direction, a peace officer or a person acting in, this is for police officers. You understand what I'm saying? So it got to be reasonably believed his force is immediately necessary, right? Before using force, the actor manifests his purpose to arrest or search. That didn't happen. That man didn't even know anybody was trying to stop him, right? So this is before using force, not deadly force, right? And this is using force, not deadly force, the peace officer, right? Not deadly force. There was nothing immediate about waiting to shoot a man in the back as he walks by you, right? Towards the door, towards the exit, right? The patron had no reason to think that the robber was going to shoot because he did not shoot anyone. If the robber had shot someone shooting him in the back, the first time would appear to be within the boundaries of the law, right? If he had used his gun, he shot him in the back, hey, he stopped him from shooting somebody else, right? All right, so that could be reviewed as erratic and a threat to everyone, right? So a person other than a police officer, right? If before using force, the actor manifests his purpose to and the reason for the arrest and reasonably believes his purpose and reason are already known by and cannot reasonably be made known to the person to be arrested, right? So you can't do it. I can't let you know what I'm trying to do, right? The peace officer is justified in using deadly force against another when and to the degree the peace officer reasonably believes that deadly force is immediately necessary to make an arrest or to prevent escape, right? The actor responsibly believes the conduct for which the arrest is authorized includes the use or attempted use of deadly force, right? So the actor reasonably believes there is a substantial risk the person to be arrested will be caused death or serious bodily injury. He hurts somebody, right? The person other than a police officer acting in the police officer's presence, this is in the police officer's presence. So there's no police officer here on the scene, right? That's what I'm just going to go to that, right? So anyway, to believe something without evidence is delusional or to use it as a defense is to lie. There must be something that reasonably indicates that the person to be arrested or the subject of a deadly force will cause death or serious bodily injury. A robber with a gun walking away from the scene of a crime does not present an immediate imminent threat at the level of danger that will require shooting him in the back without warning or shooting a disarmed, mortally wounded robber in the back four times at point blank range and once in the head. I can't even fathom how somebody don't see that this guy committed a crime. I don't care why he did it. You know what I'm saying? That's like somebody robbed my mom and I go out and shoot him in the head five times. Am I going to jail for that? Yeah. In fact, walking away decreases, right, the degree of risk of harm because of the threat is leaving. That is some street stuff that happens on the mean street to rivals or ops, as they say. If Texas is saying it's legal to kill an unarmed person and make sure that he is dead by shooting him one time in the head, right? If he has committed an aggravated robbery, are they saying that in Texas? Are they saying it is legal for a white man to do this to a black man in this scenario? If this guy is not charged with murder, that is exactly what they are saying. And to the would-be robbers, they're saying, don't try it in Texas. It could be the last thing you ever do. Right? So I'm going to our third. I'm not going to be able to get to the Brazilian butt lift, I can tell. I'm going to go to our third category tonight is the changing of the word woman in the dictionary. Now, I always thought that we all knew what a woman was, and that was not something that we got to go through great studying and research to figure out what is a woman and what is a man. But apparently, things are changing. Change does not mean that it's good or necessarily bad. But we look for the truth in all the things that we do. So when looking for the truth, you know, change that does not represent the truth is a threat to everybody, because we need the truth to guide us to life. If you're not working with the truth, it's not true, that's a red light, means go, then you're going to have people going on green and people going on red. You understand? The truth is red means stop, right? So we know that is a red light, right? We are in agreement with that, right? Red means stop, green means go. So that's the way truth works and helps us navigate through life, right? We know that a woman has certain characteristics, the man has certain characteristics. That's what guides us through life, right? I want a woman, right? I know what she looks like. I know what's going to happen when I hook up with this woman, right? All right, so this is I don't know if it's a battle for the truth. It just seems like it's a battle that shouldn't even be taking place to me, but I'm going to go through this shit, right? The Cambridge Dictionary alters definition of woman to include basically people of the LGBTQ community, right? Transgender people, right? So they say that the dictionary says that a woman is also an adult, right? That's male or female, right? Who lives and identifies as female, though they may have been said to have a different sex at birth. Said to have, according to the new entry, the new definition is an effort to be more inclusive of the LGBT community, specifically transgender people. Woo! Now that is a lot right there, because we have people who are reading. Everybody reads a dictionary from the time you learn how to read, and we are sharing definitions of things all the time, right? So the best way to include transgender and LGBTQ people in the dictionary is not to hijack the actual definition of a word, in this case, woman, but to define what a transgender woman or man or LGBTQ person is. Just say it. Gender identity is not the same as biological gender. Gender identity is what you want to be. Biological gender is what you are. Gender identity is psychological, and the biological gender is genetic, cellular, right? This is a saying. There is a saying, with great power comes great responsibility. It is irresponsible to use power to perpetrate, indoctrinate something that is not true. The LGBTQ want to be inclusive in the dictionary, society, and I think they should be, because they exist. They should be defined as what they actually are, so that there is no misunderstanding. Somewhere in the dictionary, a transgender woman is defined. And this from Wikipedia, a trans woman or transgender woman is a woman who was assigned male at birth. Trans women have female gender identity and may experience gender dysphoria, right? And distress brought upon by the discrepancy between their gender identity and sex assigned at birth. Mednet. Transgender female is someone who identifies as a female but was labeled as male at birth. These definitions deliberately excludes, denies, or downplays the fact that a transgender woman is a male who identifies as female. Wikipedia states is a woman assigned male at birth. And Mednet states someone who identifies. That's disingenuous. They reject what they are biologically labeled assigned, or saying it is a woman assigned the wrong genitals, chromosomes at birth, and identify as what they want to be. You know, that is not the same as a biological woman, as a woman. So you can't, it's no augmenting or adding to the definition of woman. It should be a separate definition for a transgender woman. That's what that word means. I'm different. I'm a transgender woman. That the word itself says I'm different. I am not a woman. I'm a transgender woman. So I'm not the same as a woman. That's what the word itself indicates, right? Right? Changing, right? Trans, moving toward being, right? Stuff like that. So when it comes to definition, facts should support the definition. If the facts do not support the definition is not correct, accurate, or true. I can see how some women would be outraged at this augmentation of the definition of women. And they said that some women are expressing like anger over that, right? So, from USA Today, Marsha Blackburn, that's a candidate for what, the Supreme Court? Marsha Blackburn asked Ketanji Brown, the candidate Jackson, to define a woman. She is, I thought, a woman, right? Blackburn was displeased about what the answer was, because Ketanji Brown Jackson said, "I'm not a biologist." Her answer was, "I'm not a biologist." So I'm trying to figure out, what does she put on her applications when they ask if she's male or female, or man or woman, when they when that question is being asked to her? The author of this article said Jackson's answer was scientifically sound. She's not a biologist, so she can't answer the question if she's a what a woman is, right? And they said there is no significant way to clearly define what makes someone a woman, right? They're saying there's no significant way to clearly define what makes someone a woman. No significant way. Can't make this stuff up. I'm running out of time. I'm trying to run through this shit. This is a woman who stated she is not able to define what a woman is. She said, "I'm not a biologist." Now it takes a biologist to determine what a woman is. What have we gone? Have we stooped that low? Webster's Dictionary, right? 1828. A woman is a woman, a compound of the word of womb and man. Womb, man, right? Man, mankind. Mankind with a womb is a woman, the female of the human race. grown to adult years, right? An adult female is a woman. She has a womb, right? And the rib which of the Lord God had taken from the man, made he a woman. Genesis 2:22 for those of you who are of the persuasion, right? So female definition and meaning in Webster. A female person, a woman or girl, an individual of the sex that is typically capable of bearing young or producing eggs. Are you trying to tell me it takes a biologist to determine if you are female? Somebody help me out with this. What is going on with the world? Oh, we have a caller. Let me get to the caller. I'm very, very disappointed in the so-called intellectuals. 0036, welcome to Provocative Thought.
Yeah, I'm disappointed too, to say the least. I think it's total BS. It's like you got a subgroup that's taking their slang and everything and is trying to make it mainstream. And I don't know, for some reason, some people in the mainstream are accepting it. That's crazy.
It doesn't make sense to me. It's like, you know, it's not what a trans, the word transgender means. You're not a woman. You know what I'm saying? When you say trans, how many women say they're a trans woman? No, they're a woman. No. They say they're a woman. Trans already points. If the people from this community just tell the truth, they ain't going to have nobody arguing against them. You know what I'm saying?
I agree.
But if you're trying to change the truth, now you're going to have a war. Now people are going to think you're crazy. Just tell the truth.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we need to they can define themselves as anything, but you can't define yourself as something that you are not, especially when you've already said that you're not. You're just not
And make me have to do it, too. That's crazy.
Right. You can't change another person's truth. You can't tell them what is real, what is true, because you want to be something other than what you are. So what you just admit that and move on. That's because they are here. They ain't going nowhere, right? And we need to define what you are in the dictionary. You can put yourself in there as a trans woman or a trans man. That's what you are. That defines exactly what you are. Either you look like a man, but you want to be a woman. You identify as female or whatever, or you look like a woman, but you're really a man who's done certain things that make you appear like a woman. It's all based on the fact that a woman has a particular look. You know what I'm saying? So because if that was true, that wasn't true. What's the use of getting the sexual all the breasts on you? If you could just be built like Arnold Schwarzenegger, I could say you're a girl. You know what I'm saying? You're a female. You know what I mean? Leave it like that. But if you want to change yourself, that's your business. Make the change, and that's what you are. You are changed, whatever woman or man, right? You are a trans man. You are a trans woman. Keep it real, and people would ask people to accept that. Don't ask them to accept something that's not real, like you are a woman when you're, by definition, you're not a woman. By our reality, you're not a woman. You know, these guys go as far as to say, these scientists are saying that they said that in terms of medical research and healing and stuff like that, it makes a big difference between if it's a woman or a man. You know what I'm saying? I said, but I'm saying I don't even want to get into no conversation about no scientists or biologists or epidemiologists or whatever these guys were, because it's not that deep. We don't have a problem figuring out what's a female puppy and a male puppy. Am I right?
Right.
We don't have a problem with that. We don't have a problem with a male horse, female horse. How come all of a sudden we come up with a problem with identifying what is a female human and a male human? How come? Why is this getting all convoluted, like it all just, you know, emerged with other people's concepts? If you want people to understand you, it's best to get them to understand how you think, right, and what your language is for you. You cannot rename everybody else. That's wrong. You know, they're going to get a lot of pushback from that. And now people going to, you know, you're going to see people try to shut them down. Because now you're saying stuff that people are, they won't be able to accept. Like, they don't have to accept what you do. Like, we all live around people, we don't accept what they do, but we know them, right? Right? You know, like, I don't think smoking cigarettes is cool, but I'm not going to deal with you because you smoke a cigarette. We can't know each other. You know what I'm saying? But I think that's a very dangerous thing to do. But, or you drink. I'm not going to disavow you because you drink. But we got to accept that, right? So, you know, we're going to put that person out in your life and things like that, depending on the level of how much they get high and stuff like that. Anyway, but I'm just saying, like, the truth will solve this situation right here, right? Because nobody's going to ever, nobody who knows what a woman is going to ever agree with this situation. A woman is also a man who thinks he's a woman. No, you're a man. You want to be identified as a woman. Keep it that way. And just ask people to leave me the hell alone. Leave me alone. You know what I'm saying? This is what I think. This is what I believe. I'm living my life like this. If you don't want to mess with me, don't mess with me. You know what I'm saying? What's the problem with that? You know, because you can't. You got to watch out for the deception and things like that, right? So, you know, why? You know, people are upset about it. You know, it's talk about the fallacy of using the they instead of she. When addressing the definition of a female, ceding a linguistic territory to the radical left, women will be erased from our civilization. The question whether women are happy with their new definition, he was, but this individual was shocked about it, right? So the new definition of woman is an adult who lives and identifies as female, even though they have been born as a different sex. That's another thing they got. This is from Cambridge Dictionary. They said, definition of the words man and woman to be inclusive of people who identify as other gender other than their biological sex. Now, are we supposed to just change the way we think because other people think different? You know what I'm saying? That's what you're talking about, right? So there's a problem here. You're going to, you can't legislate reality and fact.
Yeah.
So, and that's a battle you're not going to win. You're not going to win that battle. You don't have, you don't have ovaries and things like that from the endocrine society. They've been talking about biological differences between females and males affect virtually every aspect of medicine and biochemical research in the new scientific statement, right? Well, they said the endocrine society called for sex differences to be studied thoroughly to improve public health. That's how important what sex you are is. This is a scientist, if you want to take it to the scientist. But apparently there are some scientists that say that there is no way of determining defining what a woman is. Now, what is up with that? So they say failing to consider sex differences can lead to the failure of promising drug candidates, right? Most of these foundational studies rely predominantly on male animals or cell lines, right? They're not even studying it. How these medicines act with women. So they're so different that they need to have studies on these medicines that they're making. They need women subjects, female subjects, and things like that to see how it works with women. That's what these guys are saying, right? Biological sex is often confused with gender in our society, they say. The two sexes are differentiated as females who have ovaries produce eggs and males who have testes and produce sperm. This is not a, you don't have to be a biologist to do this. That lady that was running for, what was she running for, office, the Supreme Court?
What lady?
To Johnny Jackson or somebody that asked her what a female was and she couldn't answer that, and she is a female herself.
Yeah, she got nominated, yeah.
Yeah, but she wouldn't have got my vote just on not being able to figure out what she is herself. Females typically have X chromosome. Males typically have XY chromosome. Sex differences in the zygote or fertilized egg stem from harboring two different sex chromosomes, right? Both sexes have all classes of reproductive hormones, such as estrogen, progesterone, and testosterone, but they have different levels, right? The difference in sexual development may result in a person's biological sex not aligning with these traditional definitions. Biological sex is separate from gender identity, if you want to get into that. The Endocrine Society is the world's oldest and largest organization of scientists devoted to hormone research and physicians who care for people with hormone-related conditions, right? So the Endocrine Society states that a male and a female are so different that biological differences between females and males are affect virtually every aspect of medicine and biochemical research, right? The definition that defines, describes a biological explanation of a female and a male, right? That's what a definition should do. It is a definite. It should be definite and clear statement, a statement expressing the essential nature of a female and a male. And its theme is specifically that they are very distinct and different. It is undisputable, true, factual, real, and actual. Based on this information, a woman cannot be a man and a man cannot be a woman, right? They can appear to. They can make augmentations to their body to. They can wear clothing to, right? Culturally wear what women wear. Any definition of a woman or man that is not consistent with this biological information is simply not true. Right? If we are to respect the information in the dictionary, that information should be supported by facts, truth, reality, and actuality. Trans females are biological males, and trans males are biological females who are transforming or changing their appearance to look like the a male or female. We have 90 seconds left. I'm going to have to cut the show off. The question is, why the augmentation of the definition of a woman or a man? That is not consistent with reality. What science states that there is no sufficient way to clearly define what makes someone a woman. What science is that? That is called indoctrination, right? So indoctrination.
It's called goofy
cut
science.
This off. We got 60 seconds. I started to take this out a little longer, but I didn't know. I'm going to apologize, y'all, for cutting it short. We can revisit this next week. Until then, I want to thank all my callers, all my listeners, downloaders, We Talk Productions, Mr. Kenneth Jones, and the creator. See you next week.
Not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox and Four Park without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Detroit from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Green Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.